Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
We're going to look this morning at part of Paul's testimony, some of his final words as he was facing trial and a certain death. And we're looking today at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever." Have you ever bought something wondering if it really works according to the way that it's being advertised? It could be an over-the-counter health product. It could be a weight loss program. It could be an item that you might use in and around your home to make life easier. It could be any number of things. But based upon the claims being made about said product or program, you say to yourself, "I'm going to give this a try to see if it really works." Now, the product or the program may or may not work as advertised. In fact, many do not live up to the claims that they make. And there may be so much gray area involved in it that the vast majority of people aren't going to take the time and the trouble to try to get their money back. And companies know this. And so they make lots of money on products and programs that may fall woefully short of what they're claiming. And so, having said that, I want to share with you an experience that I had. When I was a younger adult, which seems like a long time ago, but anyway, when I was a younger adult, I was almost fanatical about keeping my car clean on the inside and outside. As I got older, that's less and less important to me. There are bigger priorities in life. But my all-time favorite vehicle was a dark green 1997 Subaru Impreza that I bought brand new at Lewis Thomas Subaru. And this was a big, big step for me at that time in my life. And so I don't know if I was getting cold feet about it or if I should take the plunge, but one day I called Charlie, our drummer, and I said, "Charlie, I'm thinking about getting a new car down there at Lewis Thomas Subaru, and wondered if you'd go down with me and give your opinion." And actually, I was wanting them to help on the down payment, but that never happened. But you know, he went with me because I was trying to just get confirmation, probably, you know. And he went down with me. We drove, and he didn't discourage me. And so, yes, I got it. And I liked everything about that little car. I drove it for 11 years. And then my daughter drove it 4 years in college up at Bethany College near Wheeling. And I just thoroughly enjoyed that car. And when I had it, you know, I would drive over to St. Joe when it was still open, and I would drive to Marietta Memorial to make hospital visits, and both of those hospitals have parking garages, and you know what happens in slanted parking garages, right? And I would come out, and sure enough, someone not being careful would sling open their door or something, and I'd come out and find a ding in my car. And so after several years, I noticed, man, there's like four or five good-sized dings in my car. And while I was thinking about that, that evening, I got drawn into one of these infomercials about the Ding King. And so I was watching, listening intently at this, and they showed how they put this little suction cup on the dent, and then you turn the lever and pulls out the metal. And the way they did it, I mean, it looked like brand new when they were finished. And so I'm thinking, I wonder if this really works. I wonder if this will work for me. I'll give it a try. And so I ordered one. I waited anxiously for it to come. When it came in the mail, I got right to work, and I got, you know, I skimmed over the directions. And then I knelt down beside my car, and all these four or five dings in the door, you know, I put it on the first one, and I thought, man, I think this is working. And I went down, working close up, I went down and did all of the dings, and I was so proud of myself. And then I stood back and I looked down the side to behold my handiwork, you know, and I'm looking down there, and sure enough, there wasn't a ding, an indention in the car anymore. Now there were four or five cones going out the other way. It looked worse than it. I should have just left it alone. It looked terrible after that. And, you know, maybe I didn't. I'm not criticizing the Ding King, okay? It may be a great product. Maybe I didn't follow the directions exactly like I should have. Maybe I was too aggressive. But whatever the case was, it didn't work the way that I wanted it to. And folks, the same thing happens in Christianity. There are people who say, you know, I tried the church thing and it just didn't work. I tried Christianity and it didn't work for me. I tried it once. Or they'll say, I tried Jesus. No. No, no, no. You don't try Jesus. You receive Jesus. You surrender to Jesus. You become a disciple. You become a lifelong learner and a follower of His. When you get born again, when Jesus comes in your life, it changes your whole life. You're no longer your own. You belong to God. And if Christianity doesn't work for you, if Christianity isn't working for you, the fault is with you, because what God advertises really does work. When we follow His plan according to His directions, it works. Amen? And we have no better example of that than Paul's testimony here in 2 Timothy, which ought to be our testimony as well. So right here from these verses, I want to share with you three reasons why Christianity really does work. Reason number one, Christianity works when people disappoint us and even forsake us. Christianity works when there are times in life when you feel like the whole world's walked out on you and you're standing alone. Look what Paul says here in verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. When I look at these two statements that Paul's making here, it blows my mind. It's almost beyond comprehension when you think of all the people that Paul led to the Lord. All the people that he helped. All the churches that he planted. All the needs that he met. And now, in his most desperate time, as he's awaiting trial and certain death, he gives this testimony here that there was no one who stood with him. And all forsook him. Let me tell you what I've discovered about life and people. The people who can do the most good for you are also the people who can do the most harm for you. Let me refer for a moment to David's testimony. Psalm 55. Read that this afternoon, the whole psalm. But I'm just going to give you like a paraphrase of what David is saying here in Psalm 55, verses 12 and 13, where, you know, he's telling us there. Look, he says there, if it was an enemy that had let me down, I could have borne it. But it wasn't an enemy. It was my familiar friend. It was my companion. We took sweet counsel together, the Bible says. We fellowshipped in the house of God. We walked to the house of God together. And has there ever been anybody in a church, whether this church or some church that you were part of, has anybody ever let you down? Has a Christian leader ever let you down? You know, here's the thing. You might let me down, I might let you down. You cannot allow your Christianity to be reduced to what other people do, because people will let you down, amen, at times. And we need to acknowledge that. The devil would like to get for us to get our eyes on people. We need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you get your eyes on people, you might get in trouble in your Christian faith. Paul says here, above the verses that we read, Demas has forsaken me. Then down in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Jesus had to stand alone at times. When he had big crowds that were following him because their needs were being met, and he was saying things that they wanted to receive. But when you read in John chapter 6, Jesus started to speak some hard things, and all of them started to leave. And in fact, it got so bad that Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, are you going to leave me also? Are you thinking about leaving me? I want to tell you today why Christianity really does work. It works because of Gethsemane. It works because of Calvary. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed alone. He bore the whole weight of all of the sin of the whole world upon himself. He was the only one who could bear it on Calvary when he bore the cross. He was the only one who could bear it. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew what it was like to be forsaken. I want to give you an example. A good example of Christianity at work. Stephen, the Bible says, was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of power. And they stoned him to death for no other reason than he spoke the truth. And folks, listen, the days may come when we speak the truth. People may want to kill us. We're living in that kind of world. And Stephen just spoke the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they stoned him. But I want to show you Christianity at work here. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The Bible uses sleep as a term for physical death. And Paul, even though everybody stepped out on Paul, he said this. He said, "Lord, do not charge them with this." No one stood with him. All forsook him. But he said, "Lord, do not charge them with this." When in this life people disappoint us, people forsake us, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can become better through it, or we can become bitter. There's only one letter difference in those two words. But if you become bitter, if you become hateful when someone lets you down, when someone disappoints you, when someone forsakes you, if you become bitter, your Christianity is going to go off the rails. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. I want you to look at this quote from Dale Carnegie. And then I'm going to, I have two more points. This is just the introduction, first point. Dale Carnegie said this: "When we hate our enemies, we give them power over us, power over our sleep, our appetites, and our happiness. They would dance with joy if they knew how much they were worrying us. Our hate is not hurting them at all, but it is turning our days and our nights into hellish turmoil." I'm suggesting to you today, based on Paul's testimony, that Christianity really does work when people disappoint us and even when they forsake us. And then here's another reason. Christianity works when life becomes more than we can bear in and of our own strength. And the key there is our own strength. For years and years and years, I've heard people say, "God will not put on you more than you can bear." And for 30 plus years, I've been challenging people. I'll issue a challenge today. Show me one verse in the Bible, one verse that says that God will not give you more than you can handle, more than you can bear in this life. Find me a verse. But I want to quote from my favorite theologian here. You may have more than you can bear, but you are not more than God can bear. Are you with me? You may not be able to carry it, whatever that it may be. You may not be able to carry it, but God is able to carry you. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord. There are times when our strength is depleted and we have more than we can handle. But that's when God picks us up and He carries us. "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Let me say that again. This is Paul's testimony. "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Sometimes you have to be alone to discover that you're not alone. The prophet Elijah, he came to the place in his life where he felt like he had more than he could bear. And he ran up under that juniper tree. He was so discouraged, so depressed that he said, "Lord, I don't even want to live anymore. Just let me die." And then he said, "I'm alone. I'm alone." But he wasn't alone. God told him, "You're not alone, Elijah." And because of the cross, because of Gethsemane, and because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, we're not alone. We're not without strength, but it's God's strength. When Paul was, before he gave this final testimony, He was being taken to Rome. You can read this in Acts chapter 27. Very interesting. They were on this ship. Paul and 276 others were on this ship. And Paul warned them not to sail through a word of knowledge that God gave him. He said, we shouldn't be sailing, but they did it anyways. They ran into this terrible storm. And then we read down in verse 20 that it says, all hope that we would be saved was given up. That's the bad news. But Paul, being God's person, said this, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. And then Paul was able to speak a word of hope. He was able to tell them there's not going to be one life that's going to be lost. And God brought them through it. There's an old spiritual that says this, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a wave upon the sea, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assails and my ship begins to fail, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, can anybody say amen? When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, stand by me. Folks, look. Just because you belong to God, just because you're Christian, it doesn't mean some things aren't going to happen. Things will happen that are out of your control. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But here's a promise for God. Look at this. I want to encourage you today. Look at this promise. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, anybody been swimming lately? Anybody going through a difficulty? God says, you're not going to drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You remember what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were down there in the fire. They had no control. They were tossed in the fire for standing for God. And King Nebuchadnezzar looked down there, he saw a fourth figure, like the Jesus was. God will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. And here's the thing this morning. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of who? Who? God. Not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. Paul had a tremendous weight upon him, but he said, the Lord strengthened me. God is, how many of you know God is so faithful? God will give us strength and grace through His power. If we could bear it in our own strength, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Our strength will fail. There may be some things that happen that we it's overwhelming. We say, Lord, I can't bear this. And we're correct in saying that. But He can bear it for us. Here's the last point I want to make before we enter into Holy Communion. Christianity works because it's the only hope beyond evil and death. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may run out of time in this life, but I'll tell you right now, if you're a born-again believer, you're not going to run out of hope. Amen. We're a people in a place of hope. Our hope in the resurrection of Jesus, it extends beyond the evil that we see. It extends beyond death. And that's our hope today. I'm going to close this sermon. I'm going to share with you a passage from Romans chapter 8 as I asked our musicians and our song leaders to lead us in one verse of a beautiful song, Come Just As You Are. And as I was praying this morning, I asked them to do this on the spur of the moment. Because as I was praying, I thought, you know, I want God impress that on my heart, like we should end this way. And so we're going to sing one verse, because you might be here today and you may be filled with doubts. You know, Adam preached on that last Sunday. It attacks us, these things. And maybe you're heavy burdened today and you want to come and receive prayer. Maybe you're not a Christian and you want to come and receive Him. I'll pray for you. But I want to share with you from Romans chapter 8, the beloved chapter, Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, What should we say to these things? You know, what things? What things is he talking about? And I just answered that simply by saying, whatever life throws at us, what are we going to say about these things? And here's the answer. If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can anybody say, that's hope right there, folks. That's our hope right there. And so as they sing this, we're gonna have communion here in a moment. But I wanted to give an opportunity, because sometimes we just go right into communion. That's our normal pattern. But if you're burdened today, you feel like you're carrying, you feel like you can't carry this anymore. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I gotta let this go. I can't carry this. You want to give it to God? Or you want to receive Him into your life? Because I want to tell you something. I want to tell you what works for me. Christianity works for me. Because I was once lost, hopeless, and Jesus came into my life. I've never been the same since. And He can do the same for you today if you'll come and receive Him.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.